yesterday the borough got a lot of feedback from the community, both in favor and opposed to the way that the mandate was written. There's a lot of fatigue going on with that word mandate. So we did retitle the document to be a public health emergency directive without a number. It is a health order still that requires certain activities to occur, but we really wanted to soften it up a little bit and recognize that people are getting tired of the ongoing requirements and mandates in particular. We also implemented a few other changes to the wording to really narrow the focus of who this document is in place for. The state's health mandate, number 14, we pulled language directly out of that to focus in on what groups of people that this order will affect. And those groups are first responders and healthcare workers who need to quarantine safely without exposing their families, or homeless families with at least one member who tested positive for COVID-19, who live in congregate shelters now and will require isolation because of the COVID-19, or homeless individuals who require quarantine and isolation. These are the purposes, and the community, when they read the original document, were under the impression that it would apply to anyone in the community, and that was not the intention at all. So we've really tried to narrow the focus to identify what groups of people would be applicable to this mandate, and also try to soften some of the language on or clarify some of the language on the need to quarantine is a voluntary action. It was in the mandate before that people would need to sign a consent form for the quarantine before they were placed in a shelter. And the option for detention of somebody who does not have a place to quarantine and is uncooperative but still stands or presents a major threat to public health in Petersburg if they are positive for COVID-19 and really do need to quarantine, there is a process for that. And so we tried to clarify what that process would be, and it involves going through authorized public health officials and the courts within a certain amount of time. But it's not an easy process necessarily, and it's not something that we want to use, but it's something that, you know, in the emergency pandemic that we're in, that we are able to use and can use to protect our population.
That would require a court order to be filed to make that happen, to force a quarantine?
It requires a public health order or administrative order to be signed by an authorized public health official. Essentially, somebody at the state level, epidemiology, would work with local doctors to sign that administrative order. And as soon as that administrative order is signed, then a person can be detained and quarantined. But then immediately there needs to be a filing with the court to extend that if an extension of the quarantine is needed. So that's all working in close contact with close coordination with the Petersburg Medical Center and the state of Alaska and the court system to get there. And again, this is a last resort where there's a serious health threat to our community that we are able to take actions to prevent that from happening. And it is all being done under state law and under the provisions of state statutes.
Meaning it's obvious that a person is seen with visible symptoms walking around town and spreading some kind of sickness.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it would be, you know, an egregious, you know, violation. Somebody that either doesn't understand or just fails to comply with the quarantine that is recommended by the hospital, and they don't sign the voluntary consent form, but there is a significant enough of a significant health threat that they would need to quarantine. And again, coming back to where that person would quarantine, so anybody that has a home in Petersburg, any healthcare worker, excuse me, and we're trying to be specific here, so any healthcare worker or first responder that has a home in Petersburg would need to go home and quarantine in their own residence. Where it gets tricky is the homeless factor. Those folks don't have a place to go. And so this the directive is allowing the EOC to develop a system, a plan for supplying shelter to people that don't have a place to go. And that is important, you know, to in this pandemic. We don't want people that are known to be exposed to COVID-19 or known positives wandering around the town and potentially infecting others. So that's you know, this whole process started focusing on the homeless issue, and it is a very important issue that the state recognized with their mandate, and we're trying to follow through with a plan in Petersburg.
Okay, and so just to be very clear, in most cases where you would use this, you would get a signed voluntary consent form from a person to be quarantined on either side of the ledger, whether it was the homeless population or healthcare worker or first responder.
That's correct. And even further, so if a healthcare worker or first responder is sick or tested and they must quarantine, there's no form to sign in that instance because they're just going to go home. They're going to quarantine or isolate in their own home. And so we're not placing them in a shelter. They are going home. And for the people that in the homeless population that don't have a place to go, there's a voluntary consent form that they will have to sign, which, you know, there will be rules, you know, to follow if you're in a shelter, and we want to make sure they understand those rules. So that's what the consent form is about. But if for some reason they can't comply with that, don't give voluntary consent in a public health emergency, there is an avenue to require a quarantine, and we're stating that plainly and openly, and hoping that we never have to use it.
Okay. Anything else important to highlight about the latest draft directive?
We've also attached a copy of the state's health mandate 14, so people can read that. We weren't sure if that was widely known, so hopefully people can take a look at that and see what it says. And also the plan, you know, the order is one document. The other document that was circulated yesterday is the sheltering plan, which basically fills in the details of how this is going to happen. And I would encourage people to read that plan so they understand, you know, what our focus is. Our primary sites for sheltering of homeless, primary site for sheltering of homeless would be at the Tide, or excuse me, the Narrows Inn. And the primary site for sheltering healthcare workers and first responders would be the Scandia House or Tides Inn, or for a service bunkhouse, if available. And the secondary site, if we have a surge of homeless people that get sick, there are only a limited number of rooms at the Narrows Inn for that population. So we would look at developing basically an encampment behind the aquatic center so that we could provide some shelter to the homeless if all the rooms at the Narrows are full.